T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
No, what, Ryder's not married to Richard Ryder.
Nope.
Your mailman is not Richard
Barry.
Flick.
Nope, that's not. You're not. Nope, it's not your friend either. My cousin had a friend who knew someone.
No, you did not.
Stubby Clapp was a good one. The Cardinals organization.
I think he's still coaching for them, right? I think he's like their third or first base coach. He's perfect St. Louis Cardinal. Stubby Clapp, perfect name. Those fans can love him up and knit him sweaters, and everybody will love Stubby Clapp.
Yep.
And need a man. It's not a name.
No.
Mm-mm. He did not work with Mr. Butts at Carmex.
No, he didn't. He didn't. There's not a vasectomy doctor in Austin named Richard Chopp. No, there's not.
There's definitely not. No. No.
Nope.
No.
Nope. Nope. Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
Yes, there's a Mendick who plays for the White Sox. Yes.
My mailman was not named. Nope. Can't say that one either. Nice try.
You did not meet a Richard Wiz. No.
Jim Bob Cooter.
He's
coming in. That's a good one.
Yeah, love that is Jim a Bob good Cooter. One. I do like that one. You did not have a backup quarterback named Holden Clipboard.
No, you did not. No, you didn't. No, you did not. All right, this exercise has gone awry.
Where did you think it was going to go?
913-576-7610.
You think it was going to go a pumpernickel?
Mm-hmm. That was horrible. That was the worst. Cut that out for the podcast. I don't even want that in there.
Oh, boy. Dr. Tickle is not your chiropractor.
The hockey player Miroslav Satan, remember? Satan. Miroslav Satan. Was it Satan? Isn't that how they pronounced it?
Mm-hmm.
But it was Satan.
Yep.
Miroslav Satan.
Yep.
Oh, your gynecologist's name is not
nope.
Dr. Love Glove.
No, there is not.
Nope.
Nope.
Don't believe it.
Nope. Don't give me the yes, there is. Look it up. No.
There isn't. There's not. Nope.
Not calling the Raytown Police Department.
Nope. Don't care. Nope.
There once was a producer named Sphincter.
That's true. There was. That's right. There was. That one I do believe.
You did not know a Phil Good, even though that could be good. That's funny.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
I can vouch for Mr. Butts and CarMax.
Nope. You're not going to go in there and page Mr. Butts at CarMax today. It's not going to happen.
You do not work with Ashley Boner.
Nope.
You don't know anybody named Barry.
Nope.
Girlfriend's name is not Yuletta Farda.
You did not go to high school with both a Richard Hickey and an Amanda. Nope, not going to say it.
What was Yuletta what?
Yuletta Farda?
No, you did not. You did not. I don't know what's real anymore.
None of it's real. It's just all funny.
Mm.
You're
the sphincter. That's probably the only real name that we've seen on
here.
Yeah.
And Richard Lovelady. We do know that one's real.
Of course, you know, Dick Trickle and all those were real, but some of this stuff, can't do it.
No. No, your pediatrician was not Dr. Barry Goodtouch. It was not. Don't even pretend that's true.
Oh. He didn't have a professor named Peter. He just didn't know.
No, no.
Did not date a girl named Wilma.
No.
Can't even read the last.
Howie, no. No. That's out.
You did not play baseball with Hugh Janus. No.
No. No. You had an attorney named Saul Goodman. Nope.
No. You didn't. No, you did not.
Nope. You did not. Twin mattress at I-49 and 195th Street, lightly used.
Uh-oh.
That from the text line. And finally, something practical has come in.
Yeah.
Get us back on the track here.
On the text line. No, there's not a Jayhawk recruit named Grady Dick.
Yes, there is.
I'm just kidding. Oh. That one actually is real.
That one's legit, yeah.
That one actually is real. It's fantastic. So Grady Dick and General Booty.
Right.
Pretty good recruit names,
right?
Pretty good recruit names.
At the end of the day, who will be better, Grady Dick or General Booty?
I think, according to hype, Grady, yeah.
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 Is it easier to be good in college basketball than college football? I mean, that's a weird question.
Like
the transition's easier for basketball.
I suppose because you can be a one and done. Yeah. So maybe there's a little more.
Right, a little more urgency maybe. Get the guy in the lineup. Let him kind of work
General
through mistakes.
Booty's going to be there a couple.
General, you're going to have General Booty for a while at Oklahoma. You're only going to have Grady Dick potentially for 1 year at Kansas. Yeah. Right.
As an 8-year-old, I always thought Dickie Thon was funny.
I did too.
Yeah,
I did
that
too.
That was always a good name.
And he always had the Padres pinstripes on that were really, really tight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You did not go to high school with brothers named Peter and Willie Schoen.
No.
You did not. I don't believe you.
I'm done. Peter and Willie showing.
No, you didn't. I don't believe you.
I don't care. It's funny.
Uh-oh.
That's a save.
That's a nice, clean.
Oh my God.
Clean snort.
Oh, that is so good. No, you didn't have a teacher named Amanda.
Nope.
No.
Nope. Nope.
Weiss OB was not Richard Holster.
Nope.
Nope.
Pastor's name is not Heaven Lee.
Nope. Mm-mm. Oh, my goodness.
Oh. What happened with Mel?
Who?
Mel Ingram.
Oh, I think of the guy at the diner. He made some bad chili and Alice got sick. I don't know.
I was really working under the impression he was coming back here. And now reports are he's going to be a Miami Dolphin.
They paid more money, yeah.
He's going to be signing with the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah. Paid more money, and he goes. That's kind of the way it is. I think if you're the Chiefs, the reason you levied that kind of that tag on him or whatever they did, you probably thought somebody was going to offer more money.
You weren't
right?
as sure as you thought you could be, but you're now you're going to get a draft pick in exchange.
You get a compensatory pick back in return for Melvin Ingram. Doesn't help you now, but that all of a sudden now becomes a need on this team. And not that it wasn't already. I think you were counting on Mel to be back here more than I was. I had kind of said if he comes back, great. But I can't rely on Melvin Ingram to come back here. And now we know he's not going to be coming back here, you know, to Kansas City unless there's some kind of change of events and Brett Veach flies down to Miami and makes him an offer he can't refuse or wherever he's living right now and decides to bring him back here. But it looks like he is going to move on. It looks like he's going to be a member of the Miami Dolphins. And now if you're the Chiefs, Josh, you're going out there and doing something that I've been so anti, but sometimes, you know, you got to kind of get out of your comfort zone a little bit. They may have to go sign a street free agent that's a little bit long in the tooth in order to have enough depth at that defensive end position right now.
Yeah, I think they're going to need a veteran now. He was my veteran.
He was your guy.
He was my veteran. Okay. Sure. Might be a little too old, might not completely pan out. Although I thought he had enough staying power last year from what I saw that led me to believe there wasn't going to be any kind of regression this year. I was pretty comfortable signing him at a decent rate too. I don't know what, I haven't seen the Dolphin number yet, but the re-sign rate was supposed to be a pretty nice little number,
mm-hmm.
you know, like 1 for 8 or something, you know, like, okay, sure. I think they paid him 4 last year, right? Mm-hmm. They paid 4 of the 8 last year. He's going to come back on a similar type deal this year. I'm like, okay, that's workable for a veteran. They may have to delve into those waters.
Yeah.
as much as I didn't, was thinking no to Jadeveon Clowney, maybe you do. Maybe you have to go get a mercenary like it. Maybe a Justin Houston reunion is in the works. You throw a flyer at something like that. I feel like they're going to need one more veteran presence. I think you're going to have some guys step up, and probably some guys we don't know of today that need to do this. But also, I don't really want to heap everything on Karloftis.
No, I don't either.
But you kind of do now.
Why can't we expect 55 to play a little bit better too?
Well,
you know?
I mean, I think on, but you're looking at both edges.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Am I suddenly thrusting Karloftis into, well, Frank Clark's on the other side, you got to go eat?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but. It might be going that direction. At least Melvin Ingram kind of gave you a little bit of an opportunity to kind of, I don't want to say slow play it necessarily, but at least stop the hype train. Let him just play and see what he is
right
behind Melvin Ingram. I think they might have to be in that mode again, or just to try to find another veteran body to go along with that defensive line.
Yeah, and I'm usually anti that, Josh, but even I'm looking at it right now going, yeah, you may have to go out and get that veteran guy. You may have to go out and get just somebody else that has the ability to have played in this league for an extended period of time, just to give you the opportunity to kind of ease Karloftis in. I mean, he's probably going to be a day one starter or a guy that plays a lot, you know, obviously on day one, but you also want to have that veteran guy there in case he doesn't, you know, hit the ground running like everybody expects him to. You're going to need some depth at that position, and you're going to need depth at that position regardless of, even if you got Melvin Ingram or not, you're still going to need some depth at that position along the defensive end position and along the defensive line. And so I'm sure Brett Veach isn't losing any sleep over this, because he quite honestly probably has a plan in place. There are probably more fans that are losing sleep over this one than the general manager of the organization is, because they probably got a plan in place. And maybe there's a guy already on the roster that they expect to take that next step. But I kind of do side with you on this one. And it's not that I say I hate, you know, going out and signing the veteran guy. I think the need has now presented itself. I think once you've exhausted all options, then maybe you can go out and do something that is uncharacteristic of what you normally do, and that's sign a guy for a guy that's over 30 to a contract. But you may have to do that now just to give yourself some depth, to give yourself some credibility, and give yourself the ability to allow Karloftis to kind of slow play this thing into the NFL and not heap all the pressure on him.
We chatted with Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, on Friday before we knew Melvin Ingram was headed to Miami, but he had some thoughts on Ingram we'll get to next.
This is Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967, on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameDay, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That I might believe. You went to school with a Slim Shady. Maybe. We were discussing Melvin.
Shady.
Josh Fernier, a Royals insider, coming up at 8:30 in 10 minutes from now. He'll join us. We were discussing a little Melvin Ingram. now apparently heading to the Miami Dolphins. The good news is, I guess, that the Chiefs will get a pick back, but I'd rather have Melvin Ingram for this year.
We'll forget about that pick until next year around draft time. Yeah. We'll be like, oh, yeah, well, that was the Melvin Ingram pick.
Melvin Ingram comp pick. Right. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, joined us on Friday on the show. And at that time, we didn't know. I asked him, were the Chiefs expecting to have him back or making plans for him not to be back? Exactly what was the case with Melvin Ingram?
Who's out there? Who's going to bring a drone and drop a bunch of cash on my front step? And he's looking up there in the sky and there's no drones, but he knows where he can go and where he likes. He loved it here last year. He loved it. And we loved him. I mean, the fact that the impact he made on the locker room, but think about what his career had been like up until last year. And the fact that these guys, if you've been around a chance and you're just yearn to win, but now you walk into a door and from the first day, Patrick was talking about this last night. He was talking about the guys he's been working with and the other guys that are new that come in. And they said, like, the first day they will tell Patrick, we see now why you guys win. There's a culture here. There's a feeling here. And I think that same thing, in going back to the discussion, is that kind of feeling or aura of realizing, hey, trust the guys around you and these coaches, and you'll have a chance to win more than any time in your career. And Melvin Ingram sensed that. He lived it last year. I think he'd like to live it again, but he's still looking for the drone.
Wow, maybe at that. So maybe the drone came, huh?
I guess.
The drone seemingly showed up.
Maybe you get him back mid-season again. I don't know. Maybe he goes to Miami for like half the year and like, ooh.
Yeah.
Tua can't, you guys are right, Tua can't hit Tyreek Hill, and maybe he's available for the second half again.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe he's available out there for the second half. But that was Friday, right, Josh? And this news came down 2 days later, and it sure seems like, from what Mitch was saying there, the Kansas City Chiefs were probably back in their mind. I don't want to say you're planning for it, but, you know, kind of hoping that he was going to come back. They thought the odds were probably in their favor that he was going to be on their roster this year. Otherwise, I don't think Mitch would be out there talking about, like, just in case a drone of money drops in. I think everybody kind of expected Melvin Ingram at some point in time to come back to Kansas City, whether that was today, tomorrow, August, whatever. Everybody kind of expected him to come back here to Kansas City. Then the Miami Dolphins swoop in where there is no state income tax. They're trying to improve their team and be a contender right now in the AFC East. They need as many defensive parts as they can potentially get to stop Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. They probably went out there and dumped a boatload of cash into Melvin Ingram's lap where he looked at and went, wow, it's a lot more money than I'm going to get with Kansas City, so probably going to have to take this big chunk of change. No numbers have been disclosed yet. I haven't seen a contract number yet.
No.
I haven't seen anything official yet either.
No.
That Melvin Ingram is going down there. And so I want to see the contract number. I want to see how big it was and how much more money the Dolphins were offering Melvin Ingram. But you know what? At the end of the day, Josh, whether it's $50,000 more, $100,000 more, $1 million, it's more money. And so if he's going to take a contract for more money in a state that protects you, you don't have to pay state income tax down there in Florida, then at the end of the day, he's probably taking home a lot more money than the Chiefs were willing to offer him here.
Maybe they offered him 2 years. I don't know.
Maybe they did. Yeah, maybe there's something about that,
too. I didn't see Von Miller getting six for 120.
No, no. You know what I mean? Anybody saw that one coming,
like,
right?
That weird stuff happens all the time. Maybe it gave him a two-year deal. Maybe give him a 3-year. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Crazy stuff, man.
However they did, they made it better. And hey, the Dolphins have been active. There's no doubt about it. I think they're quarterback short, but they've had some pieces, right? So
they're a general booty short of winning this thing.
All they need is an arm.
Yeah. I mean, other than the quarterback, you got yourself a pretty good team.
Yeah. I mean, they got two defensive ends I'd have taken. I'd have taken Emmanuel.
How was
Ogba.
The play, Mrs. Lincoln? You know?
I'd have taken Ogba and I'd taken Ingram.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they got a couple guys right on that team at defensive end. I'm like, I'd have taken those guys to come play here.
Yeah.
So, we don't know the details as of yet, but looks like he's heading to Miami. From the
text line, well, the Chiefs did give away Ingram's jersey number 24 to Sky Moore as soon as they drafted him. Well, he wasn't on the team. I mean, so, you know, if you're not on the team, you don't have a claim to a jersey number at this point in time. I'm sure if Melvin Ingram wanted 24 back, he could have paid Sky Moore $50,000 if he ended up coming back here. That is irrelevant as to why he's not back here in Kansas City. But the relevant factor is the money factor. factor. And I'm hoping it is a big chunk of change that Melvin Ingram is getting. I hope he didn't go down there and sign for less than he would have signed for here in Kansas City.
He took 24 because 24 is available.
He
wore, 54, I think, in
Pittsburgh?
In San Diego. And I think he was a single digit in Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was like a six or something. I feel like he was a single digit. Yeah.
I don't think that it meant a lot. I don't think it was a deep seated, like, you gave away my jersey. I think it would have been okay. We'd have figured it out.
From the 913, we lose out a lot on living in a lame part of the country geographically. I think we lose out when you start talking about these high salaries. And you can go to a state where you don't have to pay the state income tax, Josh. I think that definitely does factor in. I mean, we're not speaking in millionaire terms. Nobody is right now, right? But if you had an opportunity, you look at your paycheck, whatever that amount is that you're paying to the state every 2 weeks out of your paycheck, if you were able to keep that in your pocket, wouldn't you like to be in a state where you're allowed to keep that money? Absolutely. All things being equal, I'd love not to pay a state income tax. And so you're talking about football players who a lot of them live in Florida, a lot of them live in Texas, a lot of them live in, you know, Nevada, where there aren't any state income taxes. They do that for a reason. It's to protect that income that they don't have to give away to the state. I can't say I fault the guy. If all things are equal and you're offering me $4.4 million and a team in Florida is offering me $4.4 million, at the end of the day, I get to keep more of that money in the state of Florida, and I'm going to take that money because it's more money in my pocket.
And you just won't win as many games.
But it's about making cash, man.
I got you. Yeah. That's fine. Couple of tremendous things happened in baseball yesterday. One, we had a no-hitter.
Yes, we did.
And it was the Reds. And they lost.
2-1 count. Bouncing ball toward the second baseman, and they're not going to get two on this. And the Pirates are going to take the lead. Low bounding ball by Key Brian Hayes. Still no hits, but a lead of 1-0.
A 1-0 loss without giving up a hit. A fielder's choice scores the game-winning run in the eighth inning. 1-0. Pirates beat the Reds.
For the sixth time in the history of baseball, there was a no-hitter pitched and the team lost. I can only name one other. It's because I remember watching it as a kid. Andy Hawkins pitched for the Yankees, threw a no-hitter against the White Sox at Comiskey.
Dropped the ball in left field or something.
Jim Leyritz was playing out in left field and had a couple of errors out there. I remember that game distinctly because it was one of the few games that was on TV when we were a kid. Because back in my day, you had to have this thing called Sports Channel if you wanted to watch the Yankees and Mets. And we weren't paying for home box. We sure as hell weren't paying for Sports Channel. So this was one of the Channel 11 games that we got to see. And I remember watching it. I was so upset because as a kid, when you don't get to watch as many sports games as you would like or ball games as you would like, and you get the opportunity to watch one or go to one, your team better win that day, right? They not only lost, the dude threw a no-hitter and lost the game.
Also, we had a Hall of Famer on the mound yesterday. It was Albert Pujols.
Game in the ninth. He's got two outs. Look out. Gonzalez to right. Albert looking at it. So's everyone else. Albert's given up a homer. Now he knows what it feels like to be on the other end.
But he gave it up to a pitcher.
He's got an ERA now.
Kind of gave it up to a pitcher. Luis Gonzalez was playing left field, and he came on to pitch two for the Giants.
Yeah.
But Albert Pujols pitched yesterday for the Cardinals as they were thumping the Giants. Pujols, though, goes one inning, three hits, four runs, a walk, and two left the yard. It took him 27 pitches to get through the ninth. And his arm must be tired. I don't know what he was throwing. I don't think it was a knuckler, but it looked about that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And his ERA now at 36.
That's pretty good.
So Albert Pujols for the first time in his career pitched. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Like, round out the career. Do something weird.
He's only the second person in Major League history to hit over 600 home runs and give up a home run in a game pitching. Babe Ruth. Shohei Ohtani may join that list.
And then there was some person I never heard of that was the only person older than Albert Pujols to make their debut on the mound since like 1900. It was way back in the 1900s. So he's the oldest person to
somebody named like Slappy Gathers or
something like that. He's the oldest pitcher to make or oldest person to make a pitching debut in the major leagues at.
Way to go, Al.
So that was pretty fun. That was pretty fun. Looked like everybody enjoyed it. Time to check in with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. It's brought to you by Benjamin Franklin Plumbing. Call 816-363-4BEN and get that spring plumbing inspection. Vern, any position players you'd love to see pitch?
Slappy Gathers.
Yes.
That's who I'd love to see. Slappy pitch. Gathers. I love that name. What a great name you just made.
Thank
up
you.
That's terrific.
It's a good one, right? But you could see somebody in the 1900s and Josh was calling the game. And there's Slappy Gathers on the mound, ladies and gentlemen. He comes into the game with 17 wins and 2 losses on the season. And he pitches every third day and goes 9 innings each time.
Supported Dizzy Dean as he twirled another gem.
Yes, that's exactly right. Slappy Gathers and Dizzy Dean. What a great rotation. That would be a phenomenal 1-2
punch. It was Lena Blackburn was the last. Was
Lena
the oldest.
Blackburn? Wasn't that a singer?
I know, right.
Lena Horne or something?
It was a strange name. Lena Blackburn brought himself into pitch at age 42 in his final
St. Louis Browns
big league game as player manager for the 1929 Chicago White Sox.
Ah, okay.
So,
Lena
put
Horne.
Put himself in, Coach. I guess Albert Pujols kind of put himself in.
Yeah. Vern, I know this is probably not the right day to be talking about this since he had a nice day yesterday, but how much of playing Whit Merrifield is to keep this streak going? I look at a guy who's been struggling all year at the plate. Wouldn't a day off kind of do him good?
I don't think a day off is the fix. They've had plenty of days off because of rain, because of off days. The reason why, in my opinion, you see Whit Merrifield out there every single day isn't because of the consecutive game streak. It's because there isn't a better option right now for Mike Matheny to turn to. We talked last week about the 6 members of this lineup that I think belong in the lineup every single day. It leaves 3 holes in the lineup. And as Mike Matheny looks to his bench to fill those final 3 spots, Michael A. Taylor obviously grabs one of them because of his elite glove. And then Whit Merrifield's grabbing one of those final 2 spots because of his glove, because of his speed, and because of his offensive upside. That brings me back to a request I had prior to this road trip. It's only been cemented with this losing road trip we just watched. You got to give Mike Matheny a little bit more on that bench. Some more offensive firepower on that bench. And if that means going down to AAA and bringing up a Vinny Pasquantino, I'm certainly not opposed to it. Bob, we talked last Monday about this 9-game road trip. Mm-hmm. I wanted a winning road trip to prove to me that you're not the worst team in the American League. And the Royals fell short of that, 4-5 on the road trip. And you dive into the numbers, they have the least amount of wins in the American League. They have the worst run differential in the American League. Thankfully, Detroit has played 3 more games and lost all 3 of them, so you don't have the worst winning percentage in the American League. But look, you're 8 games below .500, opening up this 8-game homestand that could, for all intents and purposes, end the season. If you don't win this homestand, season over, so we might as well start playing for the future, and I think that involves bringing up some of that Omaha offensive firepower. Well, there's not a lot, but there's a few guys.
Now, let me ask you this, though, Vern, because I saw it again today. This is the 2nd week in a row. I think it's Buster Olney or some ESPN baseball guy or somebody nationally, tweets out teams that are on pace to win 100 and teams that are on pace to lose 100. The Royals right now are on pace to lose 100 games. What happens if that happens?
Boy, we're going to get a first view of what kind of owner John Sherman is, how competitive John Sherman is, how important winning is in the near future for John Sherman. I heard you guys earlier talking about the stadium. Can he really continue this citywide PR campaign to convince those who don't want a stadium, but to convince those who don't want a stadium to pay for a downtown stadium? I don't know how you do that after a 100 loss season and then bringing back everyone that delivered this 100 loss season. It's so often difficult, to point a finger at the coaching staff or to point a finger at the front office, but there's only 30 of these jobs. They're very difficult and they're very high paying. I understand that this front office won a World Series, but they would be the first to tell you we're judged on wins and losses. We're not paid to go out there and compete. No, we're paid to win. And the faith that they showed in Lorenzo Cain and Mike Moustakas and Danny Duffy, it paid off with a pair of pennants and a world championship. That patience with Hunter Dozier and Adalberto Mondesi has not been rewarded yet the same way it was with Moose and Lorenzo Cain. It's unfortunate. I understand why this brain trust stuck with this core, stuck with Mondesi and Merrifield and Salvi and the rest. I understand why they did it, but it's not an excuse. You're judged on wins and losses. So this rebuild right now, if we are careening towards another 100-loss season, that's the group responsible for it. Would John Sherman make a change less than a year after making a change in that front office? I wouldn't think so. But again, we'll get a sneak peek at what kind of owner we're going to have over the next decade plus.
Josh Vernier, a Royals insider, joining us. Back in the day, Dos Carlos was seen as a great thing. It was Beltran and Febles. Yeah. Now, apparently, you're getting questions about the Dos Carlos here, and everybody seems to want him out.
Yeah, the names I hear the most are, why is Carlos Hernandez still on this team, and why is Carlos Santana still on this team? And Carlos Hernandez, I understand he has not earned his spot in the rotation, and he's still scheduled to start coming up Thursday afternoon in the finale against the White Sox. I'm not going to defend him. You know, I'm at the point within the season, I can't defend much with this team. I told you, winning road trip or else I have no defense. You can take your shots at anyone, top to bottom, go for it. But the reason why Carlos Hernandez is still scheduled to start on Thursday is because there isn't a better option. You know, Brady Singer, Jonathan Heasley, we'll see them more than likely coming up tomorrow in that day-night doubleheader. But Heasley, Singer, Bubich, Kowar, none of them have the upside, the potential, the stuff of Carlos Hernandez. You need Carlos Hernandez to work. Sure, Heasley, Bubich, those guys could fill the role in the short term. But long term, if you're going to avoid 100 losses, if you are going to turn this season around, it's going to be on the back of Carlos Hernandez and Daniel Lynch. Those guys need to ascend to the top of the rotation. So, you know, if you weren't paying attention, Bubich got touched up in the first inning.
Yeah.
He was bad yesterday down in Omaha. Singer, you know, what was good, not great down in Omaha. Jackson Kowar's had one nice outing down in Omaha. Jonathan Heasley was good, not great down in Omaha. There is no help on the way. You know, to James Shields isn't walking through that door. And then as far as Carlos Santana is concerned, since he returned from the IL, he's only received starts against left-handed pitching. And if he becomes a platoon bat, I'm fine with that. I understand how much money he's making, and the Royals are going to try to wring everything out of that 38-year-old body that they possibly can. His OPS is more than 220 points higher when he's facing a lefty. So if he becomes a right-handed bat only for this team, which they need with the loss of Mondesi and Edward Olivares, I'm fine with that. If him and Melendez platoon in that DH spot, I think Royals fans just need to grin and bear that.
Yeah, but isn't it like, doesn't there need to be like a symbolic type of move that shows the fans like we're not okay with what's going on? Like whether it's cutting Carlos Santana altogether and bringing up Vinny Pasquantino or getting rid of the hitting coach because nobody can hit. Like, doesn't there have to be some sort of move like that to send a message to the fans that, hey, we understand, we feel you, we're with you. We've got to try to do something too. So here is a drastic, if you will, move to show you guys, the fan base, that, hey, we're still fighting in this thing.
Honestly, I think Mike Matheny might, I don't want to say fall on the sword, but he'll fight for his coaches, unlike a lot of big league managers. I think Mike Matheny would fight a little bit harder for his assistant coaches. He just seems like a really loyal guy. And that's also, if there's not a legitimate reason to wave goodbye to a hitting coach or a pitching coach, I don't think that the Royals are just going to do that the PR firing. Now, as far as a position player, the Carlos Santana thing that you bring up, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. Something like that happening at the end or the tail end of this 8-game homestand. Yeah, that's I think that's more likely than someone on the coaching staff getting the axe. I think Carlos Santana, you know, possibly being DFA'd for a Vinny Pasquantino, right? If we don't start seeing him put up numbers offensively from the right side, if he's only drawing walks, we're not seeing extra base power. I think that's more likely than any sort of coaching change.
We've seen Bobby Witt Jr. at shortstop now a number of times. Is this a flash forward to the future? Or Bob before the show asked me today, because they're gonna plan on Mondi at shortstop again next year, aren't they?
Well, they shouldn't have this year, and right. They better not next year. No, I think, honestly, Emmanuel Rivera to me needs to play every single day. I'm so torn right now. I want to believe that they can still turn this thing around. I go back to 2013. That team was 9 games below .500, finished the season 10 games above .500. But that's a lot of hoping and wishing and praying. The logic inside of me says it's on to 2023. Get Pasquantino up here. Have MJ play every day. Bobby and Emmanuel Rivera. Emmanuel Rivera has earned every day at bats at third base, which to me puts Bobby Witt at short, Nicky Lopez at second, and Whit Merrifield gets in where he fits in. So I think Bobby Witt Jr. is your opening day shortstop in 2023, but he'll still mix in at third base on occasion this year.
And where's Mondi going to be in 2023? I know they still got another year on his contract, so yeah. What do you think the situation is with him going forward?
I would like him to be a bench player, a pinch runner, a utility infielder, and we'll see if he's even ready to go on opening day. Who knows how that ACL recovery goes for him?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point as well. I just feel like we're going to be back in the same spot next year where we're going to hit spring training. But why do they continue to try to depend on him?
Well, I have no idea. I mean, that decision last year at the trade deadline and at the end of the season, when they made the decision to bring the same team back, that to me is at the core of why this team's 8 games below .500, and there is a small amount of apathy beginning to set in, because baseball fans in Kansas City can only watch the same names do the same thing year after year so many times. Merrifield, Dozier, Salvi, Nicky, Carlos. I watched this last year. Again, I've made this point too much, but it doesn't feel like game 33 tonight. It feels like game 200 of the 2021 season.
Yeah, and at 12-20 right now, it's like, boy, I mean, are we ever going to see anything move forward? Are these guys going to take that next step? And if not, is the trade deadline going to be an active period for the Royals where they're trading Whit Merrifield and they're trading Andrew Benintendi and guys on their roster?
Well, they better trade Andrew Benintendi.
I agree. Sooner rather than later, too, right?
Yes. Whit Merrifield, if you can, sure. I don't think you need to trade him away for anything. It's not like you're desperate to get rid of him. He can serve a role on this team moving forward. But, you know, next to Benny, Scott Barlow, I have to imagine, would bring a decent return. The guy's as consistent as any reliever in baseball over the past 4 years. And then you got to have the Brad Keller conversation. Brad Keller, with 1 year left of team control after this season, you guys all know the kind of numbers that Brad Keller's putting up, the confidence that he's been pitching with. Look, if you say that this core that you decided to run back here in 2022, if this isn't it, well, then it's not a total rebuild, but you're rebuilding again. And, do you want to hang on to Brad Keller, or do you want to see what you can bring back in return? That conversation is forthcoming.
Vern, enjoy a 17 straight against the White Sox, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, all right. Get to the ballpark.
A 5-game series ahead with the White Sox, doing a doubleheader on Tuesday.
It's crazy that there's so many games against the White Sox right now. I do feel like it's like unbelievable the next 10 days are all White Sox games.
7-10
right?
First pitch tonight here on 610 Sports Radio. Doubleheader on Tuesday. Night game on Wednesday, day game on Thursday. So essentially what turns into a 5-game series.
Yeah, Tony La Russa was asked after yesterday's game against the Yankees about the 5-game trip to Kansas City.
You're talking to a guy, or a guy is speaking to you now, that started driving a Model A car. I remember the first jet
airplane.
He's always
having the same conversation, isn't he?
That's what old people do.
He keeps repeating himself?
Ice to an icebox. taking it off of a mule-drawn wagon.
Yeah, Tony, what about that double dip on Tuesday, man?
I haven't seen the fans or the media been this pessimistic since 1964.
Yeah, the criticism in Chicago and Kansas City is getting a little hot right now.
And he went on to
say, I want to talk about, want to know why they want to get rid of the quarterback. When the quarterback is good in the beginning, when they first got him, he was doing good, and he screwed him up.
Yeah, that happens.
Well, there you go, Tony, weighing in like all of us on the quarterback.
Our thanks to Vern, brought to you by Benjamin Franklin Plumbing. Call 816-363-4BEN for that spring plumbing inspection. Your chance to win Royals tickets to watch the game with us. Next.
You're listening to Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. The show first to breaking news in Kansas City.
So apparently, if you've pooped yourself on Lucky Charms, go to iowaspoison.com.
610 Sports Radio.
Your chance to win Royals tickets to go sit in the stands with us on June 8th. It's a Wednesday. The Royals will be taking on the Blue Jays. And if you want to sit with everyone from 610 Sports Radio, well, all you have to do is stop by participating locations, a full list at 610sports.com. But you can stop by Johnny's Tavern, Tanner's Bar and Grill, the Peanut, the Bar, Talk of the Town, Brick House KC, and look for the Boulevard Wheat sign. Scan the QR code that's by that Boulevard Wheat sign, and you're going to have a chance to win a pair of tickets for Royals and Blue Jays to sit with us. Must be 21 to enter. Between now and May 31st, you can get yourself registered at any of the participating locations. Again, the full list at 610sports.com, but look for that Boulevard Wheat sign, scan the QR code, and that'll be your shot to win. You must be 21 to enter and win. Boulevard Unfiltered Wheat, fresh look, same great taste. We're going to give away a pair of tickets as well for this. Again, must be 21, all right? But you have to be caller number
12
for their
12 wins.
12 wins, okay.
That's right.
To 913-576-7610. We have pairs of tickets to give away for this event as well throughout the week. Your chance right now at 913-576-7610. Be caller 12. You're going to win a pair of tickets. If you don't win, again, get to those locations, scan the Boulevard Wheat QR code for your chance to get registered to win.
You know, Vern talked about the road trip and the 9-game trip, and they needed to have a winning road trip. And that's what I said two Fridays ago when they embarked on this journey to Baltimore and then to Texas and then to Colorado. They had a 9-game road trip coming up. I said, you got to go like 6-2 or 6-3 or 7-2 on this road trip to really prove that to the fans, hey, we're back into this. You're playing your peer teams. You're playing Baltimore, who stinks. You're playing Texas, who's not any good. And the Colorado Rockies, you know, going into that series were 3 games above 500, but things find a way of taking care of themselves. They were able to salvage a 4-5 road trip by finding a way to come back with that win yesterday. Had they lost that game yesterday, you'd be looking at a 3-6 road trip. Now, while 4-5 isn't anything to write home about and to notify your mom and say, hey, wow, we had a 4-5 road trip, 3-6 obviously would have been really, really bad for this ball club. And that's what really concerns me the most, Josh, is that, okay, it's one thing to lose to the Yankees, who are 25-9 and the hottest team in baseball right now. It's one thing to lose to the Cardinals. They had a Hall of Fame pitcher last night, both starting the game and finishing the game for them. And so I think when you lose to teams like that and you're a young team that's still trying to learn, you know, along the way, you're going to take your bumps and bruises. But you can't go to Baltimore and Texas and Colorado, which are your peer teams, and come back with a 4-5 road trip. I just find that to be unacceptable, and I find it to be a record that just isn't palatable right now, you know, for a lot of fans. They should have gone out on the road and took care of business against those three teams, and they weren't able to do so, and that's the disappointing part, because those are the teams that you kind of measure yourself against right now. If you're measuring yourself against the Yankees or the Cardinals or the Angels or the Dodgers, come on, that's a different stratosphere. But when you're playing against the Orioles and the Rangers and the Rockies and you only go 4-5 against those teams, that's very disappointing. You got to do better than that if you're going to show that you're on that level or better than those teams are.
Yeah, pretty Pretty bad. Although I would sign up for another series in Colorado.
I would too. That was fun.
That was at least fun. Yeah. Ball was jumping.
Yeah.
Offense. Yes. I was like, okay, this.
Start watching Rockies games.
This looks a little better. Looks a little better to me.
Yeah.
National Barbecue Day today. We want your fails only at 913-576-7610 on the text line. I don't want your successes.
No.
Because when it comes to grilling barbecue, you put that picture on social media and it gets ripped to shreds.
No matter what you do.
So
right?
Yeah. There's no point of, you know, getting a pat on the back. It's about what have you butchered on the grill? 913-576-7610.
The grill bullies are out on social media. I think anytime you put something up there on social media of what you did on the grill, people are ready to criticize it and rip it. It's like, I don't even bother anymore at that point in time, because no matter what you do, the grill bullies come out and they tell you you're doing it wrong.
Yep. Philip was our winner. So we do have a winner for the tickets this go round. We'll have tickets to give away throughout the week, as will Cody Gold, as will the drive.
Mm-hmm.
But your best way to win tickets to that game, go to 610sports.com, check out all the details, find that Boulevard Wheat sign and scan the QR code. All the details at 610sports.com. But yeah, the grill bullies being out. Mike Florio took it mm-hmm. yesterday pretty badly.
Yep.
Pro Football Talk, although I don't know what he was.
Now, we still don't know what he was doing.
I don't know what that was. He claims it was a Wagyu beef. It looked like to me, it looked like a lot of people, looked like a tuna.
Yeah, it looked like tuna steaks.
looked like a tuna steak.
And if that was tuna, he cooked that thing perfectly. Yeah. Did a nice job with it.
Yeah, because it was very raw in the middle.
And very well done on the outside.
And very charred on the outside.
How do you get a steak to even look like that? I mean, like, he had to have thrown that thing unfrozen, right? There's just no other.
What it looked like, they not defrosted.
Yeah. Who puts frozen meat on the grill? That's not real smart, right?
I don't know.
Looked like he threw it on frozen directly over the flame as well.
Yeah.
Just burnt the mess out of it.
Burnt the heck out of it. Yeah. And didn't get anything done on the inside. And it still kind of looked like a frozen rare.
If it was what he said it was, pretty expensive cut.
What a waste of money. Now, if that's the way you like it, and that's fine, man. Everybody can enjoy the steak the way that they want to enjoy the steak, even well done with ketchup like Patrick Mahomes, which is unacceptable. But, you know, if that's the way you want to enjoy it, that's fine. But he put that picture up there. I think asking, like, for suggestions of, like, where did I go wrong on this one? Well, number one, you thaw the meat. Number two, you got to make sure that grill is really, really hot so you get the tss when you put it down on that grill. And you can't walk away, right? You can't be like Renee and just get the hell out of there. You got to stand there and watch that thing cook and make sure it's doing it the right way so it doesn't get out of hand like that. So, you know, but the grill bullies took care of business. I mean, they really ridiculed
it. They took care of it. Yikes.
Why are the grill bullies so bully out there?
I don't know. They are mean.
They're mean. Yeah.
You can't take a picture of anything and put it up there and expect to get any kind of compliments.
Why'd you use gas grill? Why didn't you use charcoal? What are you using pellets for? Yeah, why are you doing it? I mean, oh my God.
So your barbecue fails at 913-576-7610. It feels that the biggest mistakes we have found today are, one, you walk away from the grill.
Mm-hmm.
You leave your meat unattended.
That's right.
Not good. And then, or you're in the prep process and your dog snatches it off the counter.
Mm-hmm.
Key fails.
Yes, big time fail.
You have to make sure the dog is with you at all phases of the grilling process.
When you go out to the grill with the raw meat, you walk the dog with you.
Yep. Because if you're separated, dog's getting your food.
Mm-hmm.
One way or another, cooked or uncooked.
Now, here's a question I have for both of you, because both of you have pets. We don't have pets because Savannah's allergic to them. Are your animals allowed in your kitchen?
Oh, yeah. It's part of the house. Yeah. We don't have we don't have like a...
It's an open.
It's open floor plan.
You can't really. Yeah.
Yeah. Can't close it off. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a problem. Yeah. One just camps out in the middle of the kitchen, just lays down smack dab in the middle of the kitchen.
Of course.
Come on.
Looking for the cold space
under
on the floor.
Mistaken impression they're going to get something that way.
Yeah. Right? There's no droppings coming.
We're to the point now where I'll put the food in the dog's bowl and then I'll go about fixing dinner for everybody else and the dog will not eat the food because what we're cooking is obviously better. She want no part of that dog food. Well, you got to dig into that dog food, sweetheart, because you're not getting anything else.
I was in a rush and forgot to peel the membrane off the ribs.
I've done that too.
Watching people try to chew through those ribs was painful.
Yeah, I've done that myself. That does suck. I did that one time, never again.
Yeah.
Peel the membrane.
Yeah.
5 minutes into grilling, the propane runs out. Yeah.
That's the worst too. You got to keep a full one on hand. Yeah. I do that now. Somehow I came into an extra propane tank. I don't know how or where or why, but I have an extra one. So now I keep one full all the time there. Because that's the worst.
Yeah, that is bad.
Especially on a Sunday afternoon. Got to rub the Walgreens now.
It's gone. Yeah. What happened? What happened? There seems to be a perception that the Royals are exploring, I'm using air quotes, exploring a downtown ballpark.
They're not?
I don't think there's any exploring to it. Next.
Keep listening to Fesco in the Morning.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.